me. I don't know.
You have questions. Find your answers at starspsychics.com.
Hello, I'm Natalie, owner of starspsychics.com. I am dedicated to providing affordable access to spiritual advisors. Here are two satisfied clients who will tell you what it's like to work with me.
Quoting Jackie.
It's a comfortable site. Everybody is so friendly. They treat you like family.
Barb added this about Natalie.
She's a kind and caring person who gives accurate readings.
You have questions? Find your answers today at starspsychics.com. That's stars with a Z, psychics.com.
Hello, everybody. This is Natalie, also known as Starscast, that you just heard and heard my name, and everybody knows, but I'd like to introduce myself with both names because I've been Starscast, oh, gosh, probably since the 90s. I mean, when I got my name on America Online. Anyways, want to tell you about some things going on. Stars, of course, we had our love special. That is over, but now you can still, if you're a first-time client, you can still get the 10 minutes for $10, one time only. That's our special, and then we have one question for $5 on the site. And we're going to be changing things up, and then we go to our magazine, mysticlivingtoday.com. We've been working on some new things for it, and I want to convert it into like a, you've seen the flip magazines where you actually, you click at the bottom and it turns the page, and then it gives you a, you know, some kind of an intro, and that tells you what everything is in there, and then I'm going to do a feature person, and I'm kind of excited about that. As you, everybody knows, I like to change things. I like something new, and I like, and gets, you know, allows me to learn more stuff, which is right up my alley. So so the magazine I'll be sending out, as a matter of fact, tomorrow, notices about sending your submissions, press releases, excerpts, poetry, stories. I have people that just write stories. So if you have a story and you want to share it, send it to me at starscast@mysticlivingtoday.com. And it would be very rare that I would not accept it. I don't think I've ever, in all these years that I've done the magazine, which has been since 1999, I've never refused anybody's content. So, it'll get up. Sometimes I don't finish it all until the first of the month, but I will get it up, trust me. So, without further ado, I'm going to bring in our special guest. Now, she was on back in July, can you imagine? And she wanted to come back again and talk with us, and her name is Jennifer Noel Taylor. How you doing tonight, Jennifer?
Oh, great. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks. Thank you for coming on. Jennifer is, I'm going to have her start from the very beginning, but she's a healing practitioner, energy healing practitioner. She is the chief magical officer of Quantum Touch, Inc., and she's worked with all kinds of people. She has her latest book, I think it's her latest now as far as I know, is Spiritual and Broke. And everybody's probably laughing and saying, oh, yes, usually people who are very spiritual are broke. I mean, have you ever talked to somebody that, say, for example, does readings or channels, and they live in, like, next to nothing? I mean, it's nothing, and you would think they'd be very rich. Well, they're not. That's, you know why? Because they probably give the store away. That's exactly what happens. But anyways, so Jennifer, let's do a recap of how you got started in this field, you know, from teenager or a gal in college. Just do a little recap because some of these people have not heard about you.
Sure. Okay. So I got a degree in computer science from Cal Poly, and I started working as a software developer, and I quickly realized how much I disliked my job, and I just felt this, I'm sure we've all felt this feeling that I was put on earth to do something else other than sit in a cubicle all day. And so I kept asking the universe, you know, what's my purpose? I'm really discombobulated at my job. I feel like I'm, you know, out of place, or I'm not doing what I came here to do. And it was just a really deep calling in my heart. And so after work, every day I'd go to massage school to study body work. And during massage school, we had a module on energy medicine, and I started playing around with energy, and I started to see energy coming off of people. I started to feel it. And then I got a message from the universe that energy was my life work. And that was in 2002. And of course, you know, my response to that message that I felt that energy work was my life work was, yeah, universe, you got to be kidding. Nobody makes any money doing energy medicine. That was my response to that. However, I still felt really intrigued by my life purpose, and I kept on pursuing different avenues to study energy medicine. And one day I attended a lecture by Richard Gordon, who founded a company called Quantum Touch. And at Richard's lecture, I got another download from the universe. And this time, the universe said, by the way, you're supposed to be running this person's company. That's your purpose. And then at that point, I thought, well, the universe is really crazy now because, first of all, A, I don't know this person.
Okay.
Some random guy giving a lecture, right? B, I live on Maui and he lives in Santa Cruz. And C, I don't think there's any job openings that he's mentioning. So it seemed like a real long shot to me. But as I describe in my book, there I had a series of synchronicities and I ended up running Quantum Touch. And that was back in 2002.
What were the synchronicities? I mean, what after you thought, oh, there's no way I can get this job. I mean, it's just not, there's no opening, nothing. What happened? How did it fall for you?
Well, we were a little nutty. So we ended up dating, but we saw each other like twice. And I had this crazy idea, said, well, I'm going to move to Santa Cruz. I'm going to quit my job on Maui and move to Santa Cruz and see what happens between us. And I ended up moving in with him, like not even knowing him. And so initially it wasn't about a job at all. It was just about pursuing our relationship. And then about a month into living with him, the CEO of the company, Quantum Touch, who was the CEO at the time, called me up personally and said, hey, I need to get a real job. This company is failing. I need to get some security. She basically needed the type of job I had just left. And she said, would you take over the company? And I said, okay, sure. So that's how that all started. And I didn't know what I was doing. I had a degree in computer science, not business. And I just was fumbling around. I had never answered a customer service phone call even. I mean, I was...
That's unique in itself. That's basically what I do, you know. And it's you, but you're a people person, so I'm sure you adjusted to it quickly, didn't you?
You know, I felt a little awkward at the beginning. I just didn't know what I was doing and managing money and managing a business. It definitely was a challenge. The company didn't really have any infrastructure, and it was going under. It was dying. It was losing money left and right, and So my first job was just to keep it in business, but it was a big learning curve. I can definitely tell you that.
And there's nothing wrong with learning something new, but what probably was difficult, and I would see it difficult because I've done customer service all my life in some form, but to be put into a company and say, okay, here, you have to do this, this, and this. And then you need to make us successful at the same time. And so that would be overwhelming. That would really be overwhelming, even to me, especially if I did not know what the company was about. I mean, okay, so what are we selling? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah. So, but obviously you excelled at it.
You know, this is kind of the topic of my book, though, because initially, for quite a long time, I could not get the money thing straightened out. We ended up almost going out of business multiple times, where we'd be like bouncing checks, and it was embarrassing. But that's kind of where we were for a long time, was just kind of teetering on bankruptcy, basically, as a company. And it just took me a long time to just get the money thing straightened out, just to figure out how do you run a business that actually makes a profit. It was really difficult for me to figure that out.
I think it is for most companies, even the one that I have that's the money, I call it the money-making business, part of the business. It is difficult. And a lot of times what it is, I mean, it's okay if you really – well, sometimes it's not okay. I mean, if you have competition, that's always good. But if you don't have the funds to move yourself up, that competition is going to surpass you really fast because that's just the way that it is. And so was it competition that held this company back? What, and exactly What did it do? What was the business about for this, for Quantum?
So for Quantum Touch, we taught energy healing workshops. We still teach energy healing workshops. That's the main business, is teaching people how to do energy healing. And we have like a professional programs for practitioners and instructors, but the main business is workshops. And here's something I learned about business and money. My business kind of ran like my personal finances. It was really interesting. It was almost holographic. Like what I was doing in my personal finances kind of matched the business. And it was really interesting because my personal finances were a mess. I was just digging myself deeper and deeper into debt, and I think at one point I had a mortgage that was underwater, I had a credit score that was not optimal, and I had about $135,000 of debt, and this was not a good position personally. That's a lot of debt, and I had no savings. And the business kind of did the same thing. The business just was barely making it, and it always was stressful, and my personal finances were barely making it. And the thing that really bothered me about this was that we were teaching energy medicine, which is based on the law of attraction, that we, you know, that we create our reality, and yet I couldn't attract money. It was so weird and discouraging.
Yeah. So what did you do? How did you climb out of this?
Well, you know, first of all, I had to come to terms with the law of attraction, because I had a belief that the law of attraction wasn't really, I believe that the law of attraction didn't apply everywhere. I sort of had this selective belief. And so in certain areas like my health, I took responsibility, but in certain areas like money, I felt like a martyr. I felt like a victim. I felt like, well, the universe doesn't love me, because if I'm doing what I love, I'm supposed to attract money. It's supposed to just, the money's supposed to come. And in reality, the money didn't come. And so I kind of felt like a victim.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing that I was doing was I was just kind of waiting for money to show up, you know, trying to shift my energy and doing the mantras and the meditations and just kind of waiting for the money. And the problem was that the money never came. Like, it just, so I didn't really feel like I was using the law of attraction in a way that actually worked. And that was kind of where I started.
So how did you figure it out? What did you do? What did you change? Because a lot of people want to know about that.
Yeah, so the first thing I had to come to terms with was that whenever I felt like a victim to anything, like even if I felt like a victim to the law of attraction. So if you're feeling disempowered by the law of attraction, or you're doing your mantras and then wondering why you're not manifesting what you want, and you start getting into this victim thing, like I was doing, I was playing this victim role and feeling like a victim, that energy of victim consciousness does not attract what you want. You can't play
victim. It
crosses victim.
Off what you want. I mean, it kind of makes sense, doesn't it? You're going against, here you have what you want. You know what you want, you would like to have. And here, I can see that. And it kind of, it's not working. We're not working together. It's like they're bouncing off of each other. Well, you want this, but then you're acting like this. So you got to, I always felt, and it's not easy to do, is that when you want something in your life, you just have to believe that it's so. And by your attitude and by what you do, the universe will provide. But I know, and I've been told by somebody, that you have to be ready. You have to be prepared. Say, for example, you know, you wanted a car. Well, okay, that's all and good. Do you have the money to make a car payment? Can you afford the insurance and the gas? You know, can you even put a down payment? That's just like material stuff. So, but it applies, I think, everywhere, doesn't it? In every walk of our life. I mean, I don't even know what the term is. You have to be ready to receive it. And just this knowingness that it will come to you. Now, that doesn't always work that way, as we know.
No.
No. Explain what people that think like that, even myself, what we need to do.
So I feel like readiness is a factor, but I feel like it goes deeper than that, because what you need to do, I feel, is be a vibrational match for what you want. It's like attracts like, from a, not just from a mindset, not just from what you're thinking, but from a whole energy place. So your actual energy field, the energy you're projecting into the world, needs to match what you want. So that gets a little tricky, because what is your energy field? Part of it is your thoughts, but that's not the whole thing. I think that's why people get frustrated with the law of attraction, because they think, well, I'll just think happy thoughts. I'll do gratitude thoughts, and I'll do my mantras, and then it'll show up. And people get frustrated because they're thinking all these great things, and what they want's not showing up. So thoughts are only a part of it. It goes deeper into what's going on in your heart and what's going on in your energy. Now, here's how you can figure out what's going on in your heart, because a lot of that's kind of hidden from us. You know, the most annoying thing that people have told me in the past when I really wanted a partner and I didn't have one was that, well, that's because you're unavailable. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I want to roll my eyes at that comment, because it doesn't help, right? We can't necessarily see what's going on in our energy and our heart and our consciousness, because a lot of that is not even visible to us unless you figure out how to make it visible. And that's the frustrating part, because you think, well, I really want a car. I feel like I'm ready for a car. I feel like I can attract a car. I'm doing all my mantras. And so how do you figure out the part of you that's not a match for a car? So here's some techniques you can do as a daily practice to kind of figure out what parts of you are pushing away happy realities. And I do this as a daily practice myself. And what you do is, as you go throughout the day, notice when you feel triggered by something, when something upsets you, when you're angry.
Okay. Or you're hurt, or you're frustrated, or whatever. Right. An emotion. Something happens. It's a trigger. Okay.
It's a trigger. Now, a lot of times these are not even conscious, or we're not even aware of them necessarily, unless they're really big. But even the big ones, sometimes you're not even fully aware of your feelings. You're just aware, like, oh, that person sucks. That person did something bad, and that person sucks, and they're a bad person. It's easy to shift the blame to the other person, right? Or to the circumstances.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right. So instead of doing that, and this does take a practice, to say, okay, when that person cut me off in traffic, or when my boyfriend did such and such, like they didn't clean up the kitchen, or whatever it is, say, instead of saying, well, that person did something bad, say, oh my gosh, I feel triggered by the fact that my boyfriend didn't clean up the kitchen, or, you know, your spouse, or I feel triggered by the fact that that person cut me off in traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you feel a disturbance like that, then saying, okay, what feeling am I feeling? Is it grief? Is it anger? What's the basic emotion going on? And the other advantage of saying I feel triggered is you're starting to take the blame off of external circumstances and other people, and you're starting to take ownership of your reality. And that's a key shift to attract anything, is that every moment when you feel upset, instead of saying that person did a bad thing, saying, wow, I feel angry when that person did that, so that you're taking responsibility for yourself at every moment, rather than giving your power away to anything outside of yourself, as a practice. And what I've noticed is doing this is that when you have an intense feeling, a lot of times, let me back up a minute here. So now you're in the feeling. You're saying, well, I feel angry that that person cut me off in traffic. So our tendency is to bury these feelings or to not feel them, because we don't like pain as a species.
Right.
You know, go eat that pint of ice cream to kind of relax, or watch something on TV or whatever, and ignore the feeling, bury it. I don't want to feel that. Just kind of, you know, avoid it. So instead of avoiding the feeling, what I say is when you have a feeling that comes up, when you feel triggered, open your heart and breathe into the feeling. So actually fully feel and embrace the feeling. So now you're connected to this feeling like, okay, now I'm really feeling my anger. You may notice that the feeling, the energy of that feeling will almost show you, if you stay in it long enough, it's this magical thing where it shows you other times where you felt triggered as well, like the same line of energy. And if you follow that line of energy, you'll find that a lot of times you connect with the origin of that energy. If you're allowing yourself to stay in that emotion, you may feel yourself, oh, I felt this way when I was 5 years old. I'm feeling my 5-year-old right now. What happened when you were 5? So if you're willing to stay in the feeling, like the universe will show you how to dismantle your triggers, basically. And mm-hmm. then you can do the process of relax into the feeling, process the feeling, and then release it. So that as you go through life, you're less and less triggered. And how this relates to money is that as you take more and more responsibility and as you dismantle your triggers, you'll start to find those stories that you've been running as scripts that you may not even be aware of that you're running that are interfering with what you want.
Makes sense. So I'm going to interject something. What if you're feeling jealousy about something that somebody has, or they don't, there's just that that's a pretty powerful thing, jealousy. How do you recognize it and say, okay, well, I know what that is. Okay, that's okay, good. Do you back away from it? I mean, I don't really get jealous, and I never did when I was a little girl. I get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
How do you deal with that?
So
and you know, I can be very logical, but mm-hmm. I can get hurt. How do you handle that? Because what you might want or what I would like to have in my life, that hurt is keeping it away.
Right. Okay. So
let's diagnose that. Yeah.
Let's dive into that. So here's a common one I see. Let's say you feel hurt or sad that you don't have a partner.
Okay.
A romantic partner, right?
Or
we could use a different example. I was just trying to find an example that maybe people could relate to.
Right.
And that I've done multiple times, feeling sad or kind of like, you know, feeling unloved or like really upset that I don't have a partner. I really want one, and wanting to connect with somebody and wanting a buddy to, you know, somebody to love, somebody to be with me, someone to share a life with. Right. So all those feelings come up, and it could be like angry that the universe hasn't delivered. You're hurt because you've been rejected multiple times, you know, whatever it is. There could be a whole multitude of feelings that are kind of wrapped up in that I'm hurt because I don't have a partner. So the first thing to recognize is that you're not a victim of your circumstances. And I think when you're feeling really hurt and upset, it's easy to say, well, everyone else has a partner, but I don't have a partner. You know, why is everyone else so lucky? Why it's so unfair? I'm a better person than Susie over there. I mean, whatever your thoughts are doing, you're like, I deserve a partner more than that person. You know, wherever you go with
right.
that. So here's how you can process that. The hurt and the lack will keep it away. You know that old cliche saying, well, you manifest a partner when you don't really want one anymore. You know, like that shows up when you kind of are not looking.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so what I feel like is really going on behind the scenes on that one is you've gone to a place where you've released all your scripts and now you're open. So, and when you release all your scripts, what I've learned is when you release all these negative scripts around not having a partner, you're really open now and you're vibrating at a frequency that could actually attract one. But what it feels like is like, oh, wow, I'm happy on my own. This is awesome. I finally
yeah,
reached the
point
where
I can do that
too.
Yeah.
On my own. Yeah. And then what I've noticed is that's when somebody shows up, you know, you've gotten rid of like your, all this dirt and grunge in your energy field. So let's say you're feeling hurt. So the typical thing to do is go buy a bar of chocolate and eat the whole thing and like try to get rid of that hurt. I've done that many times. I think everyone does that. Or Ben and Jerry's or whatever.
Yeah, you do something. So, you do something that's going to make you feel good. And sometimes it's food. Yes, it is. Or sometimes it is. Let's see. What do I do? I can't eat a lot of chocolate because of the fat. But I'll have like a little tiny Snickers. You know, the mini size. I'll have one of those. Or what I do sometimes is, depending upon the night, I just say to my cat, his name is Mushy. Okay, Mushy, time to go to bed. And so we watch TV. And my best night is Friday night. Don't ask me why. I have no idea. But I've always loved Friday nights. Not because of what's on TV. I just love Friday nights. So I have found, like this week, what I've done is I'm usually on the computer way too long. So now what I do is I'll sit there and I'll think, you know, you need to do something for yourself. What is it you'd like to? I talk to myself. What would you like to do? Oh gosh, I want to go watch. I love like scary movies and things like Criminal Minds, and you know, he gets the guy, you know, because he's doing all these bad things. I like that kind of stuff. I'm not a comedy person. I never have been. I like deep kind of stuff, I guess you could say. So, Uji and I will look for something scary on television. But Jennifer, yeah. I have a lot of recordings. So I always know what my go-to, what those are. They're there because I've recorded them. If I don't find anything, I go back and watch it again. But I also know that when you're feeling, having these kind of emotions, you don't watch anything that's going to make you sad. I have learned that. You know, now, so you can, this is about me. There is a movie called Fried Green Tomatoes. I cannot watch that movie. I love Jessica Tandy. I loved her. I mean, I just admired her. I see her. Did you see the movie?
You know, maybe a long time ago. I don't remember.
Okay,
actually.
Well, the last scene, the very last scene is, she goes to where she came from, where she lived, and she's got her little suitcase. And she sits on the suitcase and she looks out, and the whole property is empty. Everything's been torn down. That's crushing to her because she was going back to the place that she knew. And Kathy Bates is in the movie. And she comes along walking because she's looking for her, Jessica Tandy, because she left this retirement place that she was in because she didn't want to stay there anymore. And she walks up to her, and the whole scene changes from this. I mean, I really could probably watch it again, but I mean, it just makes me sob. I guess because my heart goes out to this lady, and because I cared about her, you know, I watched all her movies, and she makes it all better for her. Come on, she says, we're going to go back to my house. And she takes out, you know, holds out her hand, and they go walking down the road, this dirt road, and it's a nice feeling from that moment. But you know what's coming up when you see her walk to her place. And I don't, to me, that's sadness for me. And I try to stay away from it, even though I love that movie. I love what it's about. But there are certain things, and I'm telling people that, don't go to things that you know are going to make you sad. You know, don't trigger. Those are triggers. Don't do that. I have it recorded, and it sits there, you know. And I would love to watch it with my granddaughter. But she's just like I am. Please make her really sad. And although she's not, doesn't know who this actress is, you know what I'm saying? But I think she'd probably feel the same way. But anyways, you know, there are things, I guess, that you need to stay away from when you're trying to counteract this, whatever's going on with you, well, correct? I mean, you don't want to, like, put the frosting on the cake and make it worse. You don't want to
make it. Actually, you kind of do, but not in that way. So
yeah, okay.
If you're feeling hurt, yeah, so if you're feeling hurt, for example, you kind of want to add the frosting to the cake, but I'll explain why. So if you're feeling hurt by, let's say, not having a partner or whatever you want, instead of trying to do what I feel like we all like to do, which is avoid the pain, what I'm suggesting is this feeling of hurt is actually a really big clue on what is actually interfering with creating what you want. So
yeah.
I feel like feelings are kind of these little clues into your consciousness and energy.
How do you stop it?
Yeah. So here's how you stop it.
Stop.
Here's how you change.
Stop sign up. Stop.
Yeah. So let's say you're feeling hurt. Take a deep breath into the hurt. So don't get a candy bar. Don't watch a movie. Just take a deep breath. Breathe, open your heart, and feel the hurt more fully. Actually feel it. Continue to feel it, and you will find that as you, what I call relax and release, so relax into the feeling. Instead of trying to tighten up and avoid the feeling, like relax into it like you would a yoga pose. Just say, all right, I'm going to feel this feeling. What I've noticed is as you relax into the feeling, eventually the feeling will do a couple of things. Either it will show you your pattern. If you spend enough time with it, it'll show you what pattern is going on in your energy that's actually not working for you. And it could take a while. I mean, if you relax with the feeling for 45 minutes, which I have done, you'll start to see, okay, I felt hurt this way before. And the universe will almost show you, maybe through your intuition or through pictures or just showing you as your inner child, you know, where this feeling actually got started in your life, where this pattern originated. So
okay. When
you relax into the feeling long enough, you'll start to feel, or you'll start to understand, or you'll start to get the message. Different people interpret it or feel differently, but you'll kind of get an inkling of, oh, well, I felt this way when I was 5. What was going on when you were 5? So it's and as you trace the feeling, as you see, oh, yeah, I felt this way when I was 10, and then I felt this way when I was 5, this feeling is really familiar with me. I felt this way every single breakup, this feeling has been in my consciousness for a long time. And then you can go through releasing the feeling, releasing and forgiving every time in your life and every person that was involved, every time you felt that feeling. So it's like relax, release, and forgive. And eventually what will happen is you'll start to dismantle the trigger, so that you no longer feel hurt by watching other people have the love of their lives. You no longer feel that jealousy, like the trigger is completely dismantled. You know, when you're no longer triggered, that you have managed, congratulations, to completely dismantle your trigger. And once you do that, your actual external reality actually shifts. And you now have the space to live life at a higher vibration, because you're like cleaning out the heart, you're cleaning out the junk, you're purifying your heart. So now you're living at a higher energy.
Right.
And when you live at a higher energy, better things tend to manifest, including better situations with money. But it improves your entire life. It's not just one area. You know, like when my money has improved, but my relationships have improved, you know, my health has improved, it's like everything kind of up levels. And it's that willingness at every moment, even with the tiny things, to say, oh, interesting, I got triggered, I'm feeling hurt. My partner and I do this. You know, we talk about, I got triggered when you did this, and we process the trigger rather than, you know, start an argument or whatever. And I feel like it's really amazing to watch your heart actually increase its frequency. And you start to see your external reality really change. I'm like fascinated by this right now, because I've been doing this as an active process for the last, for quite some while. And I'm really liking how it impacts my external reality. It's like amazing. So that's kind of a really good technique I feel like people can start with, because it's starting with your everyday life as a practice.
Exactly. And sometimes I don't know if somebody told me this. Sometimes when you recognize something that, okay, all right, I get it. If you keep doing that, it won't be an issue for you anymore.
If you create a little bit of distance between, you know, basically recognizing the trigger is creating that little bit of distance between you and the trigger and the feeling. And you're right, as the more you process it, you'll start to what I call dismantle the trigger. And you won't get triggered anymore, which is awesome. Awesome, awesome.
Okay, how does this affect the law of attraction or manifesting? Okay, I mean, there are people out there saying, you know, well, I want to manifest this, but it's not working. So, okay, so you've dismantled your trigger. You're feeling pretty good. What do you do next? How can you truly manifest what you want? I mean, I know you can.
So basically, if you want to manifest something, two things will happen. Either it'll just manifest without a lot of work because you're already at a match for what you want, or the universe will conspire to show you what's in the way. And the way it shows you what's in the way is through your triggers. So let's say you want to manifest.
And then you'll recognize certain things right away. Oh, well, say, for example, you're seeing someone and they're seeing somebody else. But you don't know it right away. But the universe is eventually going to show you something, and you're going to say to yourself, "I don't want to be a part of that. It's right. I don't want that. Even though I do want to be with this person, but I'm not going to be in the mess." That can happen too. Sometime, and I believe that the universe, God, whatever you believe in, can delay things for you for your own good. Because what you want to step into will mess you up really bad.
If you're already
a higher vibration, I don't think that's going to be wanted for you, no matter what it does, no matter how it makes you feel. I mean, that's something that I've always believed in. I don't know, but manifesting seems to be very difficult for a lot of people. So. And they need to take heed to this conversation.
and I think that, for example, that example you just gave. So let's say you had intended to manifest a partner that was single, you know, where it was a mutually loving relationship, and then you manifested something that was, let's say, a big mess, right?
Yep.
And that happens, right? People have the intent to manifest a single partner who wants to marry me, who wants to be my life person, who's super loving and honest and integrity. Like, we want all this. And then what actually manifests is like a big disaster and a heartbreak. You're like, well, what did I do wrong here, right? So this is exactly what I was hinting at, is that if you put an intent out there to manifest your ideal mate and you end up manifesting a crappy situation, this is a clue of what's in the way, actually. So you can say, yay, I manifested what I didn't want, because what happens is you're triggered by it. All these feelings come up that are less than ideal, and you get really triggered, and you're seeing emotionally what's in the way of what you want by these bad situations. Because like I said, the universe will either deliver exactly what you want when you set the intent, or it'll show you by delivering something, let's say, else that's in the way. And it'll show you emotionally your emotional terrain
by
your reaction.
It'll give you you'll see somehow what is still in the way. And I believe that. I realized that maybe a few weeks ago about something. And but I also know that, you know, the universe, I always like to call God, wants the very best for you. And sometimes the very best for you at that moment in time is not there yet. It doesn't mean it's not going to occur. It just means that there are roadblocks. There are things in the way. And for it to be what you think it will be, all of these things have to be removed somehow, some way. And you can't do it. It has to be done all on its own. I mean, you can't physically move things and say, well, okay, here it is. Even if it's somebody in your life, you can't. You just can't. And another thing too, Jennifer, I think is, and whoever this applies to, that person has to be ready for you,
as well as you
be ready for them.
Here's an interesting idea. This is kind of my new thinking. I don't think you have to wait for anything. What I think, yeah, okay, so this is kind of a different idea that a lot of people think you just have to wait for God's timing, and I've always been frustrated by that, but it's like, I don't want to wait for God's timing, I want it now, and I always never liked waiting, right? So I actually believe that if you're in alignment with what you want, there's no waiting. What's actually in the way isn't time, it's what you're projecting energetically. You can clear whatever's in the way right today if you wanted to, so that it could manifest tomorrow. You know, I don't believe it's necessarily just some mysterious divine timing. I think the actual timing is because the universe is asking you to clear what's in the way, and sometimes that does take time. But the person,
how do you know what's in the way?
By the triggers. So So we'll go back to the example. If you want to have a partner and it's not manifesting, what is manifesting is events to show you what's in the way because of what they bring up emotionally. So I'll try to do really clear. So let's say I want to manifest my Prince Charming, but instead of manifesting my Prince Charming, I manifested the worst date ever. And I'm like, universe,
yeah,
that's horrible. Why did you send me the worst date ever? And so I got triggered. See, now here's the trick. It's not to say, oh, you know, poor me. The universe hates me. It's going to send me these horrible dates and I'm stuck on this treadmill forever and I have to wait till God thinks I can have a partner. What I feel like is going on is you said, okay, I want Prince Charming. You manifested a frog. And the emotions that come up because of that, you get triggered. Those triggers and those emotions that come up because you just had a date with a frog are what's in the way of manifesting your Prince Charming. So the universe sent you this less than optimal situation, or you manifested a less than optimal situation because what it brings up for you is the subconscious emotions that are in the way of what you want.
Sounds like a whole lot of work.
It's a hell of a lot of work. But it's really cool. If you're willing to do the work, your life can just keep going, getting better. You know, it can really improve. Like, your health can improve. Your relationships can improve. Your money can improve. Like, it's the most fun work because you get to dismantle all this stuff and see actual results, you know. And I think it's super fun and a lot of work. But I think anything in life that's worth having is a lot of work sometimes. If you have a lot of stuff in
the way.
That's
very true. I believe that too. I believe that also.
Yeah.
It's really, really true. It's So basically, you have to work on these triggers and these things that are in the way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a way of preparing yourself in a sense. Like, okay, well, you want this person that can offer this, this, and this, and this. But in actuality, you're preventing it from happening. Your own self, you are doing it to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've got to change. You've got to recognize, correct? You've got to recognize your triggers, what's going on, what you're doing that has got this big, huge wall there. It's and there's no way around it or over it until you... And it's a kind of a form of recognition, isn't it? Oh, okay, I'm doing this. Okay, well, and like you said, breathing it in. And don't stay away from it. Keep going, letting it happen to you. Sometimes that's okay, but sometimes that can be really crushing, Jennifer. That can just wear you out to a frazzle, I think. I know from experience.
Taking responsibility for your reality creation can be exhausting, but it's so worth it because you can go through it and then come out the other side in a better position.
So you don't really ignore what is truly causing you all this. You don't ignore it, like this movie.
Mm-hmm.
You don't ignore it
or
anything that's bothering you, that's actually preventing you from having these things that you've always wanted. I think about, you know, when I've been hurt, and I was listening to you, you said, well, something maybe happened when you were little. I think back. My childhood was not super duper, but I was alone a lot. And sometimes that's what I hate the most, is that I'm alone. You would think that I'd be a, oh, man, she should be able to handle this. You know, my friends used to walk by, my one friend would walk by my house, cross the street and go get her girlfriend, which was my girlfriend, and totally ignore me. And I didn't see them the whole day, like in the summertime. Somebody asked me, well, what did you do? Did you cry? Did you get upset? I said, no. I just recognized it, and I went and turned my music on and turned TV on, or I read a book. I didn't cry. I did not cry. I wonder if that was not good for me at that time. Maybe that was suppressed, like, you know what I'm saying? I don't know.
I think that it's easy, and our tendency to suppress feelings, especially there's always like, oh, well, I shouldn't feel hurt by that, or these stories that we tell ourselves of why we shouldn't feel what we feel, or it's easy, like, I don't really want to feel hurt, so I'm going to distract myself, or because these feelings run are intense. They're not subtle. They're messy and raw and intense, and they're heartbreaking, and it takes a lot of, let's say, chutzpah, or like a lot of energy.
Exactly, which for those that don't know, that's a Jewish term, chutzpah. Yes, courage. Go do it.
Right?
Yeah, I was around a Jewish lady when I was really young, and I learned all that stuff. She said, "You got chutzpah, you know that?" I said, "Well, okay." It's courage. It's what else is it, Jennifer? It just gives you. You just do it. Go do it.
To own your triggers is a high level of responsibility and courage, and honest reflection. Sometimes you don't want to know these things about yourself. Like I had sometimes I see a truth about myself that I don't like. I'm like, wow,
yeah,
I don't like that trait very much, but it's something that's within me that actually may hurt other people. Like I've been processing lately some patterns that I do that actually can hurt other people, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't want to feel like I've ever hurt anyone, but obviously I have this pattern that I have done that has hurt people, and to honestly face that and say, wow, I want to unwire this pattern, and I'm really I'm really sad, or I feel almost ashamed of myself for this pattern or this feeling. And so eliminating the judgment of your feelings, allowing yourself to be real with them, and take an authentic look at yourself and say, wow, I'm going to really own my reality and what's around me and what I'm creating. And that takes a lot of energy and authenticity.
It really does. It does. I mean, it's, and you have to be brave.
Yeah.
And don't fear, you know. We get to be so complex, don't we? It's unreal. We really do. Complexities we are. We are complex, you know, complex. We're just, that's the way we are. But, you know, let's go to your book, You're Spiritual and Broke. That is your last book, okay? Are you working on a new one right now?
Yeah, I'm working on a new one. I don't have a title yet, but I would call my last book more of like my personal story about how I realized why I was broke and doing spirituality and how I changed it and some tips to change it. I'm working on a new book right now to go more deeply into what's in the way of what we want to manifest and how to really dive into it, some of the stuff I'm talking about now. And I'm really excited about it because a lot of people need or have asked me for, can you give me step-by-step instructions on how to change your vibrational energy to manifest what you want? So I'm kind of working on that, like maybe as clear guidance as I can even come up with to provide really practical steps for people.
That's really great. So you have an idea of when it might be ready to go, or?
Oh, I haven't even, I've probably written a paragraph, so it'll probably be a while.
Okay. Well, we definitely want to have you back for that one, I can tell you. Definitely. Because that's important stuff, and I want to tell everybody about your site. It's JenniferNoelTaylor.com, J-E-N-N-I-F-E-R-N-O-E-L-T-A-Y-L-O-R.com. She's got everything there, her latest book and the book before that, Love Incorporated, The Business of Doing What You Love. And some of us are fortunate to do what we love, like myself and like you. And there are others listening that I'm sure they say, oh, gosh, I just love what I'm doing. And sometimes I think you have to know that if you're looking for a monetary return, you don't always get a monetary return with things that you love, doing what you love, a business of what you love. You do it for the betterment of the world, like myself. I do all of this because I love people, and I want to make the world a better place, you know, and that's another thing I talk to God about. Okay, I need the tools here. I need my tools. You want me to do this? Okay, lay it out in front of me. Tell me what I have to do, you know. But, yeah, that book was really a good one too, Jennifer. I mean, you know, it's hard to do what we love and be able to take care of ourselves monetarily with it. I mean, sometimes it doesn't always turn out that way. But with what you're saying, it can, if that's what you want. But if you don't really want that, then just be happy with what you're doing. Like myself, for example, you know, my husband died and I'm okay. I'm not wealthy or anything like that. But I do my magazine once a month. I post everywhere. I do a blog. I do all of these things. I have, like your publicist, TJ, I have people all over the world that I can contact for whatever I need. And it doesn't have a monetary value. It doesn't mean, oh, it's going to bring money. No, it doesn't do that at all. But I get something within that, I don't know, I like to think that it's kind of allowing my heart and my soul to, I don't know, glow from within. I like to feel that, you know. And then there are those out there who are listening saying, well, I want to do something. I know what I want to do, but I can't make money at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Well,
yeah,
that's a tough one, too. You have a solution for that one?
I have a solution for that one, too.
Okay.
So, I mean, other than working to manifest money, here's another thought for people who say, well, what I really love doesn't make any money. It's okay to make money from other means and still do what you love. So, for example, if you invest money, or if you invest in real estate, or you can create other means of making money that aren't reliant on what you're doing when you do what you love. So that's what I do, because, you know, Quantum Touch is amazing and I love it. And I have other ways that make money beyond just Quantum Touch, because I like having other streams of income. And that takes some of the pressure off of having to do what you love as your only source of income. It's okay to allow income from multiple sources that may not have much to do with your spiritual mission.
What you love. Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Like, I'm a perfect example for that.
Uh-huh.
Because I have what I have, and it maintains my life okay. You know, I'm not a clothes freak. I don't need to have something new all the time. I don't, you know what I'm saying? So in a way, it's really good. I'm able to do things for my granddaughter, which is things that I did not have for myself. And so you try to do that for people that are your family or you really love. And she's the only grandchild I have. And I mean, I don't spoil her, but I watch.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just, you know, sometimes she'll go on a little trip and I'll say to my son, well, okay, when she goes there, I want her to buy something from Graham. She calls me Grammy, Graham, Grambo. She calls me Grambo, too. People laugh at that because I'm tough. Like Rambo, I'm tough.
Grambo.
Grambo. And she does that. One of her friends said, why do you call your grandmother that? Well, because that's what she is. but there's a side to me that's very, very soft and I can be crushed. I mean, really. But anyways, so I'll do little things. I'll say, okay, it's okay. Get her something from me. Usually when she goes someplace, I do that for her. And she, but I want her to show me that she's appreciative, and she does. So, you know, but I'm able to still, you know, do all of these things, my radio show, talking to beautiful people like yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Look at what I have. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's truly amazing. I remember there was an author years ago. I used to put stuff in my magazine because my magazine was started in 1999. It was probably in the 2000 era somewhere, you know, 2005, 2006. And we talked on the phone one day, and he says, I'm going to tell you something. He said, I'm going to say this to you. He says, how many people do you know have done what you've done, have
mm-hmm.
a magazine and another site? How many
uh-huh.
people? I want to know. I said, nobody. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You are a success. I remember him telling me that. And he was an mm-hmm. author. You know, he had written several books. And he said, that's how I feel about you. You are a success. You don't see me having one, do you? He said, you were able to venture off into unknown territory
mm-hmm.
many years ago when it just didn't happen. And he said, if you don't think that's not your guiding light, he said, you're wrong. It is. You just
mm-hmm.
keep doing. And I remember him, and I don't know whatever happened to him, but, you know, it stuck with me. Sometimes there's a trigger that'll bring it up, Jennifer, and
uh-huh.
it'll remind me of those things. You know, sometimes you have to be brave. It was nothing to do about bravery for me. It just got dumped in my lap. Well, it kind of. The magazine did anyways, but you see how things happen? Those are synchronicities also.
Mm-hmm.
You go, I feel, you go from here to here to here to here.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I also think that you have to recognize the synchronicities. You have to know the signs. And I know you know all about that. But
mm-hmm.
the law of attraction, you've taught us an awful lot tonight, sweet lady.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much. I love
yeah,
it.
Yeah, thanks for having
me. And I want to keep. Oh, I will keep in touch with TJ and find out about this book. And you need to be writing, girlfriend. You need to get this book out there. It's going to be very important because it's going to show people the way, the actual
mm-hmm.
way to do this, right?
Yeah, I want to really kind of boil down, you know, this law of attraction and why people get frustrated with the affirmations and how can we go deeper with it so that we actually activate it, right? You know, so that we're actually
exactly.
using it. And
I'm still
playing with it. You know, I'm still playing with my methodology. So I don't want to put a book out there until I feel like, okay, I know it works. My methodology works. And so I'm still working.
Well, you certainly have laid the groundwork. I mean, what you've told us thus far makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really, and hopefully our conversation is added to that. You know, I think that's how you really do something that like you do. These are almost like they're like self-help. You need sometimes people need to see it in print. They can hear it, but they need to see it in print.
Mm-hmm.
You need to do this book. I have spoken. Natalie has spoken.
Thank you.
You need to write this book. Okay, that's your assignment. Should you choose to take it?
I go with my mission. You have spoken.
Yes, yes. You've got your assignment here, and I think it will be wonderful. And I will keep in touch. I'm sure TJ will let me know when something new comes out. Maybe
yeah,
within
yeah.
the year, something like that, I think. It usually takes about a year, doesn't it?
Well, it can take longer depending on, like, your writing, how fast you go with it, and, you know, if you want to go
mm-hmm.
through a publisher, if you want to self-publish, it can vary depending on what you decide to do there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. I know it will be great, and I'm so happy you came on the show. And everybody, go to her site, JenniferNoelTaylor.com. She's got her books there. You do a blog, right? You also do a blog. And also look for things in the magazine because her publicist, I write to him, okay, what do you got for me this month? You know, I mean, I'm brutal. I'm relentless. I go after all of them. Okay, and I keep hounding them. If I don't hear from them, okay, you know, his name is TJ. Okay, TJ, I haven't heard from you. What's going on? I know you've got something for me. You always do. And sometimes I can request something. I usually do. So you can bet you will be in the March issue somewhere, somehow, because that's what I do. And it's a good thing. And I'm just so happy, and I can't wait to have you on the show again. And for everybody, you know, go to her site. You know, she's got her two books, Love Incorporated and Spiritual and Broke. They can really apply to everyone. I mean, you know, spiritual and broke, and you feel you're so spiritual, but yet you're not making money and all of that kind of stuff. So, yeah, it's a good thing. She does really good things. And so with that, I think we'll close out the show and remind everybody, same time, same station next week. Of course, I'll have another guest on. And thank you again, Jennifer, for coming on the show.
Yeah, thank you.
I love talking with you. When he suggested you, I had a big smile because I remember the last time. We just, you know, it's right at 9 o'clock. We had nonstop stuff going on, all kinds of good stuff coming out and for everybody to listen. And, yes, and I'm going to retweet this right now and put it out there. And I will be chatting with you again soon. Thank you again.
Great.
You have a good evening out there. Yep.
Thank you.
Okay, and as everybody knows, I always end the show the same way. I mean, we'll have a little bit of music at the end, but I always say believe in things you cannot see because they really are there. And with that, I'm going to get on our music session here, Free to Love. This is provided by Candy Ranson, who does all the marketing for me. She's in the chat right now. She's amazing. I give her something and she runs with it as far as she can. And she's one of my champions. I have several of them. I like to call them champions because that's what they are. They do all of this for me, and they make a little money, but they're not getting rich either, you know, but they're doing it because they love it, just like me. So thank you, Candy. She's listening. And then I have a content writer, Jackie. She does all of that kind of stuff. And then I send it off to Candy, and the two of them, what a team I have. I'm very, very blessed. So everybody have a good evening, and let's going to run the music here. It's called Free to Love. And thank you again, Jennifer. I just adore you. You know that.
Aw, thank you. I adore you, too, and I appreciate being on your show. Thank you.
We'll do this again. Okay, everybody, here's the music, and then the show will end right after. If everyone could be who they were really meant to be, without limitations, discrimination,